Is your heart and your mind open to hearing what God has to say to us this morning? So it's the right time and the right place. Now, the first thing that I noticed about this question, this thing about the woman at the well, is why? Why is there a whole chapter in the Bible devoted to this ordinary woman who lived in the back of beyond, in the middle of nowhere? And there she was. Why all this about her? Why did John write a whole chapter about her? We don't even know her name. And yet, that's it. And actually, you've got to go through John, through towards the end. In chapter 20, he says this, and this explains why we're considering the woman at the well this morning. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's why we're told this woman's story. That's why it's so important to us today. I'd just like to unpack that verse just a little, because it tells us a lot about Jesus, it tells a lot about us, and it mentions the name of God, which is so important. Let's just look at Jesus first. Did you notice in that verse I read, it says, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, in Greek, it's Christ, but in Hebrew, it's Messiah. So this verse is saying, Jesus is the Messiah. And that's just terribly, terribly important. We go back to the very beginning. This has always been God's promise. And we go back into Genesis chapter 3. We read there a remarkable situation. Adam and Eve had sinned, and God was dealing with them. And he was dealing with Satan, who caused them to sin. And he says to Satan, a remarkable thing, says, he will crush your head. He will crush your head. And who's this he? Well, it's the Messiah. It's the promised one. It's the anointed one of God. The one that was going to come and be king and be in David's line. All these wonderful things. Jesus was going to come. He will come and crush your head, Satan. That's what God said to Satan. And all new Jews knew about the Messiah, and they were expecting it. So Jesus is the Messiah, but more than that, he's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. And then, the same thing, we're going to go back in the Bible, right back to Exodus. Exodus in chapter 3. And remember the story about Moses at the burning bush? Moses went up before the bush and God spoke to him. And he told him to go and bring my people out of slavery, out of Egypt, and bring them into freedom. And Moses was saying, oh no, they wouldn't listen to me, they wouldn't listen to me. Who shall I say sent me? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. That's my name. I am who I am. And of course, in his time, Jesus was always making this reference to I am, reference to God. And this is what our series is about. We're going to be looking at these. You know, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus was always referring to himself as I am, the name of God. But more than this, Jesus was the very image of God. It tells us that in Colossians, we'll read that. He's the very image of God. So he has the power of God. He's got the authority of God. He's got the compassion of God. He's got all God's qualities in Jesus, the very image of God. He's got his love. He's got his care for us. And you know, the one thing he wants most of all is to use all this power, all this ability that he's got in God to save us, to save each one of us, from our sins and from separation from God. So this verse is telling us absolutely true that Jesus is the all-sufficient Messiah. But this verse tells us about our humanity, about you and me and the woman at the well. It tells us that you may believe and you may have life. And that's wonderful because we're made in God's image as well. We're made in Him. And again, you go back into Genesis, it was always God's plan. And He said, God says in Genesis, He says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule the fish and the sea and creation and all things. So we are made in His image and we were made to rule, we were made to have authority. That's how it was when Adam was in the garden before he sinned. He ruled in the way that God wanted him to do and in obedience to God. And we have got that potential as well. We are very special. We are made in the image of God. And that's hugely significant, because it means that we've got the capacity to believe, to have faith. We've got the capacity to know God, to talk to God. That's wonderful. The animals can't do this, but God has chosen that we might be able to do that. But even more than this, more than being able to believe, we've got the capacity to have life, to have eternal life. God has made it so we can have eternal life in heaven. It's the highest form of life. And that's why this story is so important. This woman discovered the secret that she could have a life in Jesus. So here we are. We've got the story. Now let's have a little bit of background here. This is in chapter 4 of John. At the end of chapter 3, we hear what John the Baptist was saying in Jerusalem. And we read this. This is John the Baptist talking to the Pharisees and the rulers in Jerusalem. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on them. Can you imagine how popular he was with the Pharisees? He was going up to them saying, God's wrath is on you. God's wrath's on you. And they were hating it. They were hating John the Baptist for telling them these truths. And they were hating Jesus even more, because this passage tells us that even more people were being converted by Jesus' disciples than were by John the Baptist's disciples. So Jesus was unpopular in Jerusalem as well. So, maybe for that reason, he decided to go home. He decided to go to Galilee. Now he had a choice to make. He had a choice of routes to make. He could have gone up the east side of the River Jordan and gone up and then crossed into Galilee in the north and avoided going into Samaria at all. But our passage says that he had to go through Samaria. He had to go to Sychar. He had to meet this woman. So he chose deliberately to go through Samaria. Now this was a tremendously countercultural thing for him to do, because the Jews, and Jesus was a Jew, had nothing to do with the Samaritans. There was a centuries-old hatred between them. But he chose to go into Samaria. But the point is that this was no accident. This was planned by Jesus. He planned the place. He was going to meet her at Jacob's well, near the town of Sychar. I mean, I felt that was in the town of Sychar, but I think it might have been about half a mile outside this town of Sychar. And so he chose the place. And then he chose the time. He chose noon. The heat of the day, and the real scorching heat out by this Jacob's well. And he chose the person that he wanted to meet there. This is the woman that we were, this privileged woman. And he chose even to be alone. He sent his disciples away so that he'd be alone to have this talk with them. So the woman, because Jesus planned it, was in the right place to meet him. She was at the right time to meet him. And this was God's plan. Now, is it God's plan for you, for me, that we meet with the Jesus? And perhaps this morning, there's some that aren't sure. And now is the opportunity for us to meet with Jesus. So that's a bit of the background to the story. Now, what was the impact on the woman? Well, I'm suggesting that she had three steps she took in her mind once she met him. The first one was she was intrigued with this Jesus, this man. She was interested in him because he was being very countercultural, because he was talking to a Samaritan in which Jews never did. He was talking to a woman. Men never spoke to a woman, especially when they were on their own like this. He was doing things which were strange, and she became interested in him. He came to her. Perhaps you know a little bit about Jesus and you're interested in him. But the next step she took was the conversation continued, and she heard Jesus talking about the living water, and we think about that, awesome thing, pointing us to the living water. And this was very different from ordinary water, and she realized that he was talking about them. And then he turned and he said, you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't your husband. And she was amazed. No, humanly speaking, nobody can know that. And so she said, I see that you're a prophet. And so she made a step from being interested in to realizing that he was a prophet. And then she went on into the conversation. Now, you need to know that the Samaritans knew a lot about the Old Testament and knew a lot about God and had connections with Israel and that had disputes with Israel. And one thing was that they both worshipped God, the true God, but the Jews did it in Jerusalem and the Samaritans built their own temple and worshipped God there because of this divide between them. So she knew a lot. And she has started talking about the Messiah. And she sort of said, well, prophet, that's the time that I know about the Messiah. She said, I know he is coming. I know he is coming. And she's talking about this Messiah that we've been thinking about. He said, when he comes, when the Messiah comes, he explained everything. All these things that we talked about, living water, the Messiah will explain it. And then Jesus, the key to our story, he looks at him and says, I, the one who's speaking to you, I am he. I am he. I am the Messiah. Fantastic. Wonderful. The woman met with the Messiah. Now, if you are like me, this business of taking steps towards Jesus, steps towards her. Now, when I heard the gospel, I was nearly 30 years old, and I didn't believe it at first. I had to take several steps before I believed in Jesus and became a Christian. And if you're in that situation this morning, then you're in good company because Nicodemus was that. Now, Nicodemus really relevant to the story because he's in chapter before, in chapter 3. We learned about him. Remember Nicodemus? Jesus said to him, you must be born again. You must be born again. And Nicodemus said, well, I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born again. And he didn't understand. It took several steps for Nicodemus to come to faith in Jesus. Remember the blind man, the Savior, and how Jesus stroked his eyes, the blind man. He said, how are you, what can you see now? And the man looked and he said, oh, I can It's wonderful. I see people, but they're like trees. You know, it's all blurred. So Jesus tenderly stroked his eyes again and said, how are you doing now? And the man opened his eyes and said, I can see clearly. And that's a picture of the steps that we can take towards Jesus. Perhaps we don't see him clearly, we can make the step to seeing him clearly. God can do this for us. He can do it for us. So this woman takes three dramatic steps to Jesus. Now, you say to me, what about sin? Now, when I was in India, and I was at the German side, and in India, it's a terrible thing to say, but the Dalit women carry the bricks to the building site. Great big heavy loads on their head, and they carry the bricks, and it's a bad thing. But I've seen this, and they're under a terrific burden, and that's what goes on. And can I just say to you that this jar, now it looked like a pretty light jar, but it was an earthenware jar, it was a heavy jar. And this, if the well was half a mile outside the side gap, this lady, or other lady, had to carry this heavy jar out to half a mile to get the water. It was a burden. It was even worse when she had to go back, because it was full of water then. It was really heavy, which was a burden. And that speaks to us about the burden of sin. The burden of sin. Because, remember what Alison told us? She said that when once the woman had realized that Jesus was the Messiah, she left her jar. Then she ran, probably tripped and skipped back to the town to tell the others about the Messiah. She had been released from the burden, and she'd been released from the burden of sin as well. The jar speaks to us about sin and God taking the sin away. But you know, another result of this story was the gospel was preached. The gospel was preached. This woman preached the gospel. And she said, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? It was the Messiah. And she told him joyfully. And the people listened and said, come and see him. And they did come. They came out of the town and they came to Jesus. And the passage tells us that because of his words, because of Jesus' words, many more became believers. Wonderful. The gospel was preached by this woman. Unlikely that a woman like this would do it, but God can do wonderful things, and he can do it to us as well. We can tell others about Jesus. But there's something more that I'd just like to share about this story. And it's about what tells us about Jesus. It tells us about Jesus. You see, it tells us that he was tired, and he was thirsty, he wanted water, didn't he? He was fully human. Fully human, truly human. So we can take from that he knows everything about what it's like to be human. And all the trials and the difficulties that we face, Jesus knows about what it's like to be human. And he cares. So he's truly human, but also he's truly divine. Truly divine. When in the passage he said, said to the woman, I am he. I am the all-sufficient Messiah. That's what we learn from this story. So now, down the years, what has this woman got to say to us this morning? What is she saying down the centuries to you and to me? Well, she's saying that You've heard my story this morning, and we have heard her story. It's her story of how she came to Jesus. And her message to us this morning is the same message that John has for us. And it says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the all-sufficient Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. We thought about His name, haven't we? I am. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the way. So that's what the Word is saying to us today. But are we listening? Are we in the right place? Is this the right time for you? Ah, it is. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful story. We thank you that it talks of a woman who came to you and became a follower of you, whose life was transformed completely, who met with the Messiah. Father, we thank you that by your Spirit we can do just exactly the same thing this morning. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.